my sincere gratitude to all of you who have come to dedicate these precious moments of our human life to attend this most important celebration of the Vyas Puja, of the appearance day of Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, His Divine Grace. This beautiful facility that we are all getting such great benefit from is one of the countless contributions that our beloved Srila Prabhupada has offered to the world. It is said by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that to understand the essence of the scriptures is not possible even after many, many births of studying them scrutinizingly. The true essence of all religious scriptures can be understood by observing the qualities and hearing from those great souls who with pure hearts have given their lives in the service of God. When Krishna descends to this world, He does so simply in the spirit of compassion. Far beyond this material existence is the Brahma Jyoti, the spiritual sky, of whom the impersonalists call it Brahman, the infinite, formless, impersonal light. Within that spiritual sky, which is in actuality the rays of the bodies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are many spiritual planets called Vaikuntha. Those places that are very much different from this material existence, because nothing is being destroyed by the influence of time. Everything and everyone is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, Satchit Ananda. And the topmost planet of the spiritual sky is Goloka Vrindavan. Once in a day of Brahma, Lord Sri Krishna descends into this world in His original personal form. Yesterday we celebrated that glorious event, Janmashtami. However, Krishna expands Himself in various eternal spiritual forms from time to time as various incarnations to come to this world simply to show compassion to those who have forgotten Him. Material existence is an existence of forgetfulness. We have forgotten who we are and what is our real purpose of living. We are not these temporary material bodies or flickering minds. We are the eternal soul, the life force. The nature of the life force is that it is a part of God, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. To remember our relationship with Krishna is the summum bonum of human existence. It is the only platform where there is real happiness. In forgetfulness of our relationship with Krishna as His loving servants, we are destined by our own activities to accept karmic reactions which we must enjoy and suffer birth after birth after birth after birth. We have rejected the rare jewel of love of God within us to search for the broken pieces of glass in the form of the enjoyments of this temporary world. It is that forgetfulness, that avidya or ignorance, which is the cause of all suffering. It is out of compassion that the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends into this world. And He spoke Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Through His incarnation of Vedavyasa, He has given us the Vedic literatures. Those great souls who live with the spirit of the compassion of the Lord shining through their hearts, they are the true well-wishers, friends of all human society. With this in mind, let us briefly, because we don't have sufficient time at all, examine the life of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, when he was in his early 20s, first met his beloved spiritual master Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. At that time he was given the instruction that you are an intelligent young man. Take this message of Lord Chaitanya and spread it throughout the world in the English language. Although Srila Prabhupada was grihastha with child, he spent the rest of his life preparing for that mission. When he was 69 years old, he had just left Vrindavan. When he was in his 50s, he retired from all worldly life and made his base in Sri Vrindavan Dham, the holy land of Lord Krishna, the most sacred of all sacred places in all of our creation, where there are over 5,000 temples of Krishna, where everyone is chanting the names of Krishna day and night, the very place where Krishna is eternally performing His beautiful pastimes. In that charming spiritual environment, Srila Prabhupada translated the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in the English language with the idea that this would facilitate him fulfilling the mission of his spiritual master. He was living as a sannyasi, therefore he had no material wealth. But he had an unlimited treasure house of love and compassion for Krishna and for every living being. He went to Bombay. In brief, he actually had to sit on the steps outside the offices of the Scindia Steamships Company, begging for a ticket on a steam cargo ship to New York City. Not begging for himself, begging for you and me, begging for all living beings. He didn't need anything. He had everything. He was living in Vrindavan in divine consciousness. Who does like this today? Is begging, humbling himself to the most insignificant position, to lead a life which is full of danger and fear, which is full of torturous conditions. He did that to give the world love of Krishna. He was given his ticket on the Jaladuta. From Bombay, he took a train to Calcutta. just a couple days before the boat was to depart, he went to Sri Mayapur Dham. And there at the Samadhi Mandir of his Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he spent the day praying for his blessings. He came back to Calcutta. There were five people that came to be with him, to see him off. A Sen Gupta, a Bhagavati, a Mr. Ali, a employee of the Scindia steamship line, and his little son, Vrindavan. He had 40 rupees, $7, and he boarded that train, that boat. While in the Arabian Sea, there were great storms, seasickness, several heart attacks. He departed Calcutta on the Friday, the 13th of August, 1965. 38 days later, a rigorous, life-threatening voyage, he finally came to New York City, where he knew no one. Some hired traveler's aid man put him on a bus to Butler, Pennsylvania. Unknown place. Isolated place. There he lived with some people who had no interest at all in his mission. By the force of their father, who lived in Mathura, they somehow or other gave him some residence. He left that comfortable home because this was not the place to reach the world. And he went to New York City. For those of you who have read his diary, you can do nothing but fall at his feet with tears of gratitude in your eyes. How he lived. He was sometimes living in the ghetto of the Bowery, where there were drunkards and prostitutes and drug addicts. Sometimes he would find somebody who would take a little bit of interest in Krishna, and he would stay at their house with them. He was 70 years old. He wrote to his godbrothers. He wrote to some wealthy people in India. He wrote to politicians. I want to start the first Radha Krishna temple in America. The people will be receptive. Help. But everyone wrote back, Swamiji, impossible. Come home. The only thing he had of any material value whatsoever was his return ticket on the Jaladuta to Bombay. But he would not use it. Even though there was no results. If you read in his diary, he considered everything the property of Krishna. He was a pure devotee. He was accountable to Krishna for everything he said, everything he did. He would note down every expenditure and everything that came in as income. 14 cents for a banana and some potatoes. He spent one day. 30 cents for bus fare. 23 cents for a banana, a potato, and an apple. It was all written down. And sometimes people would buy his books, and he would get a little income, and he would simply use it for preaching. In various places he was staying, he was always inviting people, come, come. In his diary, he explains, he was inviting the world to come, the message of Krishna. One night he writes, nobody came. So was he discouraged? Somehow or other, he got this little tape recorder, and he just did a whole program for the tape recorder. And then people would come. Another, he explains, three ladies and gentlemen came. And I played the tape of my chanting for them. And they liked it. Therefore, now I can understand that Haridas Thakur's prediction that the holy name of Krishna will be spread all over the whole world will be, it will happen. Such positive thinking. He explains, living in Bengal and Vrindavan, the snow. The first day it snowed, he looked out the window and he thought that the city painted everything white because he had never seen snow before. It was freezing. He had no proper heating. And everyone was saying, come back, and Jaladutta was waiting for him. But he remained out of compassion. He never gave up hope. He never gave up faith. In 1966, on the most blessed of all celebrations, Gaur Purnima, the titi of the appearance of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada writes in his diary that in Vrindavan and in Navadvip, all my God brothers and God sisters, they are gathered together to have glorious celebrations. But here I am, 10,000 miles from the nearest Vaishnav. I am all alone, with nothing. But I am very happy, because this is the message of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted his holy name spread throughout the world, and I am willing to suffer in hell to perform his will. That is Srila Prabhupada. That night, he had a Gaur Purnima festival. And I think 5 or 7 people came. And he made a big feast. And he had kirtan. And he had lecture. But nobody even gave him hardly any donations to survive. Another time, for his mission, he had a little typewriter for his writing. He had a little tape recorder and a book bag. Someone broke in his room, broke the door down, broke the window, and stole it all. He met one young boy who showed some interest. He wanted to give that boy everything. He was cooking for him. I met one boy he met. Robert Nelson. He was just a simple person, but he took a little interest in Krishna. Prabhupada would see the spark of any sincerity in a person's heart and dismiss all of his other bad qualities and just try to fan and kindle that spark until it became the fire of love of God. He would go out and shop and cook wonderful prasad to give to this boy. He told me once a story that Swamiji and him went to a grocery store. He had a little money. He gave it to Swamiji to buy some things so that Prabhupada could cook for him. He's about 20 years old. Prabhupada's 71. They went to the store. Prabhupada bought some vegetables, some rice. The cashier with her machine, something like $30. She says, sir, that will be $30. Prabhupada never shopped in America so much. He was used to India. He said, I will give you $10. She said, sir, we don't do things like that. He said, no, I know what this is worth. It's not worth $30. She says, the price tag's on it. If you don't like it, you go somewhere else. He said, no, I know what it's worth. You're a good person. I want to buy it here. I'll give you $10. She said, sir, we can't do that. So she opened her purse and took $20 out and paid the excess that he would not pay. That's how he charmed their hearts. Such a simple life. He would cook. He would talk about Krishna. One time he was living with a boy, and the boy was actually kind of crazy. Prabhupada just wanted to give him everything. He was willing to send him to India to have him trained up in Vrindavan and Navadvip. Haribo. I have to stop very soon. So, I'll continue for a few minutes with your permission. But in doing so, I'm a naughty boy, according to this. So Srila Prabhupada, this boy was causing so many problems. One time he was typing some manuscripts of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. The boy said, stop that typing, it's bothering me. Such a person. One time he invited a few people to the house, and they were having a kirtan, and he said, stop this kirtan, I don't want to hear it. Another time the boy threatened to kill Prabhupada, saying that he couldn't find his soap. So Prabhupada was on the street. In his diary there's one incredible passage where Srila Prabhupada explains, today the biggest crowd has ever come to hear my message. Today, 14 guests have arrived. Haribo. Here is Jagadguru, Acharya descended from the spiritual world. 14 guests. But he was seeing things in such a positive and hopeful way, because he was seeing Krishna. He was seeing every obstacle that came before him as an opportunity to show his love for Krishna and his compassion for all suffering souls. Then he began that he had to leave that house, and he was homeless. So some people that he happened to be meeting arranged for him a small storefront on 26th Second Avenue in the Lower East Side of New York. They were able to help with the down payment for 1 month, but after that they couldn't help him. He writes in his diary, we will leave it to Krishna. And he began having Bhagavad Gita's classes. Soon some interested people started coming. Then he started going to a park, sitting under an elm tree in Tompkins Square, and playing a little bongo drum that somebody gave him. He had no mridanga, he had no Vedic instruments. And playing that little bongo drum, he would chant Hare Krishna, and crowds of people would come around and sing and dance with him, and he would explain the message of Bhagavad Gita. Soon, very intelligent, sincere searchers for the truth were coming to him. People who were born in great wealth and affluence, who had the world at their feet materially, but they had the wisdom to understand that there's no fulfillment, there's no meaningless in those things alone. There must be something higher. There must be something deeper. There must be a spiritual substance to life. They were disoriented by their churches and their synagogues for hypocrisy and messages that were without satisfactory philosophy. When they heard Prabhupada's message, when they met with Prabhupada's heart, they felt, here is a man that loves me. Here is a man that loves God. Here is a man who will sacrifice his life for the welfare of everyone and anyone. And they gave their lives to assisting him. Soon Srila Prabhupada's little storefront became overflowing with sincere souls. Then he went to San Francisco. Then to Montreal. One amazing thing about Srila Prabhupada is those who were actually grateful for what he gave them, they were empowered and inspired with the same type of fearless compassion as him. There were three household couples who had just been devotees for not even 1 year. Srila Prabhupada sent them to come to London to establish Krishna consciousness here. They had no money, they didn't know a single person. But they had one thing. They saw what Prabhupada did for them. And the magic of that mercy inspired them to do the same for others. Those six people, Gurudas Jamuna, Mukunda Maharaj, Janaki, Shamsundar Prabhu, and Malati, they didn't have enough money to get in the country. Prabhupada had to send them a check, money order. One couple at a time would come in and show that this is how much money I have, so they would get through. They went from Holland over the English Channel. And they'd mail that check to the next couple and mail it to the next. After they were all in, they mailed the check back to Srila Prabhupada. Malati had a little baby child that Prabhupada named Saraswati, the first child born in the Hare Krishna movement in the history of this world. She was sometimes living in the basement of a warehouse in a brown cardboard box with her family. But they were inspired. They were ecstatic. They wanted to share the glorious gift that Prabhupada gave them. They had adopted Prabhupada's spirit of fearlessness, of doing the impossible, seeing Krishna as the controller. They approached the Beatles. I'm sure all of you know who they are. The most influential people in the whole Western world. Impossible to meet such people. But they met them. And influenced Mr. George Harrison. Gradually they were chanting in the streets. Srila Prabhupada came to London. And established Krishna consciousness. Our beloved godbrother Tamal Krishna Goswami, by Krishna's inconceivable arrangement, he left our physical association earlier this year. He was another such person that could do anything and everything because he was inspired by Prabhupada's mercy. Prabhupada was sending such devotees in various places of the world. And soon there was 108 thriving temples. From living in a cardboard box in the basement of a warehouse, there's Bhaktivedanta Manor. From living in a straw shack in West Bengal, there's the most glorious place of pilgrimage with hundreds of beautiful buildings and temples in Sri Mayapur Dham. From living in a tiny room in Vrindavan, the most popular temple in all Vrindavan Dham, Krishna Balaram Temple. Prabhupada began his book distribution. He was the only distributor. He would take his magazines and just go from tea shop to store in his old age, trying to convince people to accept the message of Krishna in the form of Back to Godhead. And in a few years, the largest publisher of Indian literatures in the history of the world. Tens, hundreds of millions of books distributed. Sometimes, tens and thousands of Bhagavad Gitas distributed in one day by those who were touched by his spirit of compassion. We can speak on this subject for many, many hours, days, weeks, months, years, and lifetimes. What was Srila Prabhupada's motivation? Selfless, unconditional love for Krishna. Selfless, unconditional love and compassion for you and me. To share the highest treasures of the spiritual world, which can be easily attained by simply orchestrating and dovetailing our propensities in life in a spirit of devotion toward Krishna and chanting his holy names. On the basis of the holy scripture, Srila Prabhupada established everything he said. Harinama, 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 eva kevalam kalo, nasteva, 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 gatiranyata. In this age of Kali, there is one most beneficial, simple method by which we can attain the highest perfection of spiritual realization. To realize our eternal loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And that method is to chant the holy names. Srila Prabhupada would inspire the small children, the old, old people on the verge of death, both ladies and gentlemen, men and women, rich, poor, Asian, African, American, European. There was no discrimination. Prabhupada showed compassion into the insignificant. Prabhupada showed compassion even to the most insignificant living entity. Because he had the faith, simply chant the holy names, clean your heart, and feel the real joy of life. So let us today, on this glorious occasion of the appearance of Srila Prabhupada, take his mercy to our heart by simply accepting as a priority in our life the chanting of the names of God, and try to share that great fortune with others. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thank you very much.